Hey there, Hoops fans. How you doing? It's your boy, Jonathan Macri, with you for an emergency live stream, I guess, episode of the NBA Takedown. I am here with my compatriots. I'm going to save the gentleman in the Dallas Mavericks jersey for last. Jeff Johnson, hello, sir. How are you?
I'm doing well, man. It's this league, bro.
This league.
Last night in the NBA was drunk. Today was the hangover. Who would have thought?
So last night was the best single night of basketball. Honestly, I could like NBA basketball. Like, it was up there, right?
Yeah.
That I could remember watching. I mean, I'll just say that I can remember watching, period, full stop.
It was like Red Zone. If NBA had Red Zone, wow, it would have went crazy last night.
That's exactly what it was. How are they going to follow it up? They would follow it up in the only way that the NBA can, because this is the National Basketball Association, where the drama never stops. As I introduce Sean with a W, I just have to ask, I can't see the number or the back of the jersey. You have a Mavericks jersey on. Who is it and why do you own it?
It is of the greatest European player of all time to this point, Disco Dirk Nowitzki, and who is my favorite non-Nick of all time.
I knew that, actually. I did know that. I knew that.
Yes, you did. In solidarity with the whole Dallas Mavericks massive, I'm with you today because your wishes have been granted.
So I'm just going to start here. There are so many angles to this thing. I mean, look, the trade has been the black cloud for some, certainly different color cloud for the Lakers, but it's been hanging over the entire league since it went down in whatever it was, late January or early February. I forget. I should know that the date should be ingrained in my head because we had the watch party that night. But whatever, it's been 8 months essentially, and it has been unescapable. It has been the biggest story in the NBA. And now there is some finality to that story, although in some ways we are probably just getting started with the repercussions. And it felt like almost the moment that it happened, that today was going to be an inevitable repercussion of that day, of the day that they decided to make the most inexplicable move in the history of the league, as far as I could remember, at least. Jeff, I'm going to go to you first. Was there any way to avoid today? Were always going to end up here and it was only a matter of when?
John, do you know what would have been the best way to avoid today?
I can take a guess.
The best way to avoid today would be not to trade Luka Doncic to the Los Angeles Lakers and not even get a first round pick, the haul that you could have gotten. You don't trade the franchise player and one of the top five players on the planet. Is he 25 yet?
So Luka Doncic, as of right now, it's funny. I just pulled up his basketball, not his basketball reference page, but like the Dallas Mavericks of the team he left. He is going to turn 27 in February.
Not even 27 yet. If you like, you know what would have been even better? They should have gave him a copy of Insanity or P90X.
Oh my.
And gave him that for the offseason. If it was that serious, if the whole weight thing wasn't that serious, because you know what? I've seen what thick Luka did. Aerodynamic Luka looks even better. This was unavoidable. I sent you a tweet. I sent you a tweet from Kaz, and that sums up what happened here effectively. But I don't think there is any way this could have been avoided.
Sean, I am trying to think of another scenario in NBA history where the car crash happens. And we all, it's like, we, or rather, let me rephrase that. where like the car crash doesn't happen, but like the cars are speeding at full speed ahead, and like to the same point, the percentage chance that they were not going to hit was essentially zero, and everybody saw the car crash happening in real time, even though it did not start yet. And I have to think, yes, the Mavs still have Cooper Flagg, but I'm almost wondering if I'm a Mavs fan today, which I hear the closest among the three of us to being a Mavs fan because you're wearing a Mavericks jersey. Does this make me feel better? I guess, but I at the same time, I'm like, in a way I might feel worse because you let this, again, I'm going to borrow the phrase chuckle fuck, because it's the best phrase I've ever heard to apply to someone in my life. You let this guy do this. And now here we are 8 months later or 9 months later, whatever it is. It's astounding.
When the Knicks were going through their coaching search, when they made the decision to fire Tom Thibodeau and then began their coaching search, which was mocked by the rest of the league being desperate, how's that look now, right? But one of the main subplots from that search was how involved James Dolan was in the removal of Tom Thibodeau to the point that he was sitting on exit interviews. And listen, I understand there's PTSD when it comes to any time James Dolan touches anything regarding a franchise, but the biggest refrain was he shouldn't be involved in these decisions. He should just hire people and get out of the way. In fact, that's what so many people have yelled for years. And I push back and say, these decisions that your like owner should be involved in, especially when it's involving eating millions of dollars, I think like $20 million.
Sure.
But you know one thing I can say about James Dolan? Well, two things. One, this is why your dog should be involved. And two, I can say this. James Dolan knows ball, because I cannot see a scenario where Leon Rose could go to James Dolan and say, hey, I want to trade Luka Doncic. And James Dolan says, all right, cool, whatever. Like there's not knowing ball, and there's whatever atmosphere of not knowing ball Patrick Dumas is in, because somebody should have told him. Or he should have known, like, wait, you want me to trade this guy for that guy? Like, to answer your question, if I'm a Mavs fan, I am pissed because you saw this coming. Like, he's going to get fired because we traded this player. At the same time, you have to say to yourself, the Luka trade is a sunk cost. It's gone. It's done. It's not coming back. We are moving forward, and this was the first step to move forward.
No, I want to be very clear in the question that I just asked, because I have seen some takes that, and speaking of the Kaz tweet, Jeff, that you referenced a second ago, I'm gonna put it up here because I just screenshotted it. I have seen some takes that they should. Here we go. They did indeed expect one of us in the wreckage, brother. That's good job, I guess. Anyway, I have seen some takes that, like, what good does it do now? This, you know, Harrison had this vision for this team, and you're going to fire him. He's already done the thing. Like, you can't get it back. Like, firing him does not get Luka Doncic back, as much as I wish, or I'm sure Dallas fans wish they could. So let him at least continue to do this. I agree with the alternative perspective, which is like, and I forget, I apologize. I'm stealing this from somebody, and I could find it quickly because I think I may have liked it on Twitter. But someone has like made the comparison. It's like, no, if someone is like driving drunk on the road, and they've already, you know, caused a lot of damage, like, you don't just let them continue driving because it's like, all right, well, they've already done the worst. So like, what more, you know, you take the keys away and you impound the vehicle and you put them in jail. And today, Nico Harrison wound up behind bars, and I cannot imagine he ever is going to get another job in the NBA for as long as he is around.
Ever.
And that's kind of, that's like the first real topic that I wanted to cover. And I don't know, like, look, there have been some bad GMing. There has been some bad GMing done over our lifetimes, at least. We were here for the Isaiah Thomas era. But like, and look, if you look at the collective set of decisions made, again, just to throw a name out there, by Isaiah Thomas, they were bad. Some of the decisions were inexplicable. The Eddie Curry trade may not have been his worst trade in theory, but in terms of the repercussions of that trade, you could argue it single-handedly set the franchise back several years. We've had some other not so great GMs here. Shout out to whatever it is, 11-time NBA champion Phil Jackson. So we know bad GMing when we see it here in Knicks land. Unless I'm missing something, we've never even seen anything like this, where a person comes in and makes an affirmative decision, the decision that was, he was not pressured to make, that nobody was asking him to make, that not only sent sent an atomic bomb into the fan base, but like the city of Dallas has not yet recovered from this, to the point that we got multiple reports this morning from various NBA reporters, including our own Ian Begley, who said that the players of the Dallas Mavericks have openly said it's easier for us to play on the road than it is at home, because literally the fire Nico chants, they can't concentrate on the game with them, but also just the aura of being around with all of this, this suffocating pressure. So again, they had to do it. They had to make the move. But shit, man, Jeff, like, is this guy going to go down as the worst GM in the history of the sport? I'm serious.
I don't know if he could be the worst GM, but he definitely has the worst transaction in the history of the NBA on his ledger. It's got to be on his ledger. I called it out when it happened in the dead of the night after that Knicks-Lakers game. I to the point where, if you remember, Shams had to tweet, this is real. Yeah. This is real. Shams had to tweet from his main account, his professional account, guys, this is not cap. This is true. That's how shocking this move was. Yeah. Any other superstar, even LeBron, to get traded now might be surprising. Might be like, oh. But we've heard enough to know that while it's outside the realm of possibility, it could still happen. And he's also in year 85. So it's whatever, right? This was the most shocking trade I think I have seen as a sports fan. I think by far. Like, you might bring up other ones where I might say, oh yeah, that caught me off guard. But shocking to the point where social media almost crashed. People blew up Shams's personal phone. Like, yo, someone's got your phone. They just tweeted out some Luka Doncic trade. Right? To the point where that game last night in stupid finish Monday in the NBA, PJ Washington's on the line, 3 free throws to tie the game, hits the first one, misses the second. They start chanting fire Nico. Before his third shot, they started chanting fire Nico. He had to create an escape hatch so that he didn't have to walk through the crowd. This was completely untenable. You had a fan courtside with a Luka Doncic Lakers jersey, chatting up the owner, having the owner have to tell him, yeah, we made a mistake. I'm trying to rectify it. We want the fans to have faith in us. To a fan with a Lakers Luka jersey talking to the owner of the team. Like, this was completely untenable. I think he has it on. Now I think I've convinced myself he's up there. He's up there. If you want to tell me he's the worst GM because he made the worst move, I got to give it up to you. But what I do think is really fascinating is that Dumont is skating away without the blame for giving his cosign. If you thought he was wilding, why did you allow him to do it? We talk about owners meddling all the time, right?
Yeah.
You should have meddled. You should have full meddled. You should have gold medaled. You should have silver medaled. You should have bronze medaled. You should have swept the podium. How did you let that happen? And of all teams, the team that leads the league in Photoshop jerseys, you willed it. You manifested it to come to life. You did this. If I'm the Western Conference, I'm pissed that you did that.
Yeah, if well,
I'm in Eastern Conference.
Yeah,
especially if you know what. Yo, if you're in the East, you're like, damn, I didn't know it was open season. Pick up the phone.
If you're a Mavs fan today, and I kind of want to like talk to Mavs fans at some point, or talk to at least a Mavs fan who has good perspective. We got to get someone on the show. Like, yeah, you're always going to be mad at Nico, and the name Nico Harrison is always going to send a chill up your spine. But Jeff, you make such a good point, because for you to be the guy in charge and to like, there's all kinds of idiots out there in the world, but once you got the team from Mark Cuban, you were the steward. It is on your shoulders. Everything comes back to you. The buck stops at your door. And so when Nico Harrison comes to you and is like, hey, Patty, I had a couple of cocktails last night and I started jotting some stuff down on a cocktail napkin. And I know it might sound crazy, but I woke up this morning. I'm like, crazy, crazy like a fox. Just hear me out. Hear me out. The fact that he didn't dismiss Nico Harrison at that exact moment is on his shoulders. But even if he's like, you know what? Everybody has bad ideas. I'm just going to be like, you know what? We're not going to go in that direction today. Come talk to me in 6 months or a year or whatever. And let's revisit this maybe during the summer. He let it happen. He let it happen willingly. And then, but now you look at it and you could even like, I would almost be more forgiving of Dumont if he stuck this, if he like kept Nico aboard. But for him to fire him today makes me think two things. One, he had absolutely no conviction whatsoever in whatever vision Nico Harrison was trying to sell him. And number two, he is essentially caving to the public, to all of the stuff that's going on, which, like, I don't know that I blame him for. But again, if you're the owner and you're a fan who was like trying to figure out like what's going on with my team, don't you want your owner to have a little bit more like what? Why would I have any belief in a Mavs fan? Who cares who they hire as GM from here? Yeah, I got Cooper Flagg and I got some nice pieces. Trade Anthony Davis. We'll get into that in a bit. But like, this guy is like, whichever way the wind blows, he's just going to go with it. And I don't know that there is a more disastrous ownership situation in the sport right now. And I say that completely aware of what's going on in Sacramento and what's going on in New Orleans. And hey, let's call a spade a spade. New York hasn't always had things going great with our ownership situation as well.
Doesn't depend on this. It's not sports dependent. So I can look at East Rutherford right now.
Mm.
But I will not derail.
You can. That would get us off the rails. Sean, I'm looking right now at the Hall of Fame index. Shout out Basketball Reference. I love this because it's an easy way to just pull up the greatest players of all time. And like, and the reason why I think he has to go be in the conversation for the worst GM ever is NBA championships are dictated by superstars. I have said it repeatedly, and I'll say again, a superstar is the most important player, a most important piece, an NBA superstar is the most important thing in sports, other than maybe a quarterback in football. But as you well know, as a Ravens fan, y'all won the Super Bowl with, what was his name? Flacco. That's what it was.
Joseph Elite Flacco.
Okay. So I'm going to go with the Yeah, I'm
and
sure he's
Trent Dilfer. Don't forget the immortal.
Don't forget Trent Dilfer. Did Brad Johnson make a Super Bowl, I think, or something? No,
he won a Super Bowl.
Yeah, against the freaking Giants. They let Trent Dilfer and that damn defense. Boy. So,
I'm going to go with the NBA superstar as the most important thing in sports. And there have been other GMs that have traded NBA superstars in their prime. Will Chamberlain. Will Chamberlain got traded twice. Charles Barkley. Kevin Garnett was on the tail end of his prime. But if you look at each of those situations, even Wilt, and we have to go back 60 years for that, there were things leading up to it that were not the concoctions of one man's psychosis. And none of that was here. You could argue that among players under 30, how old is Jokic? Maybe with the exception of Jokic, no fan base was as in love with and justifiably in love with their superstar than the Dallas Mavericks were with Luka Doncic. Except there's one other name that has to be in that conversation. And you know who it is, Sean? The Knicks fans and Jalen Brunson. And do you know who let Jalen Brunson walk out the fucking door in Dallas? Nico Harrison. So, Jeff, when I tell you or when I try to argue to you that he has in the conversation for the worst GM in the history of the National Basketball Association, it's not just the Nico thing. It's the Brunson thing as well, because that's on his ledger. He let one generational superstar walk out the door. And then about a few years before that, he let this other guy who is our favorite player in this city since Patrick Ewing, Willis Reed, Clyde Frazier, whatever. You got to go back a ways.
Yeah, 1,000%. That's why I said the more you talk, the more I remember. I forgot he was the GM that let Brunson go.
Oh, he was.
And let's not forget, keeping the Knicks ties, Quentin Grimes. This is deja vu. If you watched yesterday, this is deja vu. You traded him for Caleb Martin, who scored maybe 2 points more than I am this season in the NBA. And Quentin Grimes is looking like a Sixth Man of the Year candidate. Yeah. You have to own the decisions you make as a GM, with the full knowledge that they're not going to all work. Some are going to flop. Some are going to fail. But this is the type of consistent flop. It's like, yo, when have you been right, fam?
Wow.
Cooper Flagg? Yeah. Number one overall pick. I wonder who you're going to take. Like, when have you been right? Like, when have you been right to the point where you could say, it sort of balances the scales. Like if you were in front of the Egyptian god of death and they were weighing your heart against the feather, that heart is sinking, bro. That heart is sinking. Mott is looking at you like, you got any other trade? What did you do before this? Let's just get Dallas out the way. What was the rest of your life like? Because right now it's looking like the underworld or bust.
Sean,
allow me to introduce this word that is considered dirty, nasty, and violent internet. The word is called context. I'm in agreement that Graham has made the worst decision in NBA history by an executive. That is undeniable. I don't think he's worth GM for a few reasons. One, while Brunson was on his ledger, I believe Brunson was more of a Cuban decision. He has his fingerprints on that more than Nico does. Because it came down to, it really came down to, and to the point where Mark Cuban even said it at the time, it was like, the writing was like, they want to use him in a trade.
Can I push back on that, though? Oh, just for a second, because Yaron Weissman, who wrote the great Lakers book behind me, came on this podcast a couple weeks ago, and he said, your number one job, and this is something a former GM told him, your number one job as a GM is to sell your owner on what you know is in the best interest of the team. And this is a GM who had committed who had done a trade that was a horrible trade and got blamed for it And as he was telling the story, he's like, well, yeah, the owner wanted to do it, but that's on me because it's my job to convince the owner of what's in the best interest of the team. And if D'Angelo Harrison, who was running the freaking franchise, and like, if he couldn't see that Jalen Brunson was the path forward for that team and had the qualities of someone you want to continue to build around with your generational superstar, A, and B, then if he couldn't convince Cuban of that, that one of those has to go on his leisure, Sean. It just does.
I'm saying he's blameless. I'm just saying that this Luka decision is clearly like
That's him and him alone.
The decision, I will not say that's him and him alone because one, Cuban was involved that because Cuban was being cheap, didn't want to pay. Let's keep that in mind. Number one,
true.
And number two, he. What's the other? The other reason why it'll come back to me.
While you're thinking of it, we'll finish your thought, and then I gotta read something real quick.
Yeah. So, with that said, the number two is nobody thought that Jalen Brunson was going to be there. Nobody. So, if you want to say you shouldn't let him go because he's a good player, you could have had him for $55 million for 5 years. That I understand. Oh, you should let him go because he would have been one of the 10 best players in the league. Go jump off a cliff. You're lying to me. With that said,
of course.
That's the context I will give him in terms of that trade. And the other reason why he's not the worst GM of all time is because after the Brunson thing, he built the team around Luka Doncic perfectly to get them to the finals. He did that. It wasn't Cuban. It was him.
No, so, I have pushed back against that too. But real quick,
yes,
Patrick Dumont just put out a letter to all Mavs fans. Did you guys see this?
No.
Run it up. Put it on the screen.
You know what? Let me. I will get it up in a second. That's what somebody said. Let me just say, in terms of the pushback that I will give you on the him building a championship team that made it to, or not a championship team, a finals team. Right? That's what you said. He built the finals team. Who was the second best player on the finals team, Sean?
On that
team that Luka took to the finals, who was the second best player on that team?
Oh, why? Okay, that team's
PJ. It was two years ago.
Kyrie Irving,
right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
He traded for Kyrie Irving. It was a good trade, right? No question about it. Did like in comparison to for what Kyrie gave the team, second best player on a finals team, did not really give up all that much to Brooklyn, and obviously we know why. His trade value was extremely low. I'm not begrudging him of that. But when you trade Luka Doncic, who is one of, at the time, your two main shot creators on the team, and I'm putting up the letter right now, you do that because you're like, and they kind of said as much, you do that because you're like, well, we have another shot creator on the team. We have a guy who some people think is one of the greatest point guards of all time in Kyrie Irving. So that Kyrie trade emboldened him to make the Luka trade in the first place. And then if you take it a step back, why did he make the Kyrie trade? He made the Kyrie trade because he had to clean up his mess after letting Jalen Brunson walk. This shit is all connected, which leads us to how we got here with Patrick Dumont now sending a letter, an open letter to Mavs fans. The name Luka Doncic is not mentioned once, not one time in this letter. And I'll cut to the relevant portion. Though the majority of the 25-26 season remains to be played, I know our players are deeply committed to a winning culture. This decision was critical to moving our franchise forward in a positive direction. Please know I'm committed to the Mavericks. And now here is the best part. Thank you for your support. Thank you for holding us accountable. And thank you for your passion and your patience. You deserve transparency in a team that reflects your spirit. Our goal is to return to winning basketball. Our family is committed to that mission and continuing to invest in Dallas and the Mavericks' future. Please join me in continuing to cheer on our players and supporting all of those who work to make this organization the best that it can be. He is just admitting the reason why he fired the guy who made the most detrimental trade in the history of the league is because fans are showing up and booing the shit out of the team night after night.
Don't leave me, girl.
Well, listen, we can't. Fans complain when owners listen to them, and then fans complain, why are you listening to us? Like, you can't have it both ways. At the end of the day, he's right to say, like, yo, this is not on the players. Stop booing the players. He should say that, and he's right. Number two, I remember Amino Hassan saying this years ago. He said that when it was after some decision, some teammate, somebody, whatever, and they were like, how much do these talking head shows, your first takes, your things first, your speak, whatever, influence the team owner's decision? And I remember him saying, and Amin used to work in the Suns organization, he was an executive in the Suns organization, and he would say, it's not that show influences them, but all the people in their circles watch that. And then they go to the owners like, hey, what happened? Like, are you sure about this? I heard about this. How about that? What are you gonna do? And that builds pressure. Yes. And I think this example, the Luka trade, is the most extreme example of literally everyone in Patrick Dumont's circle that was February 1st, 2025. So for 9 months, everyone in this circle has been like, Patrick, 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 yep. Patrick. So that's bound with the, because again, listen, I can't blame her for listening to the fans, because I have not seen as toxic of an environment in the NBA outside of the Palace of Old Hills in November of 2004. Like, it's like, did you see the video when they were when the Bulls at home, they lost by two, and the look of disdain on all their faces, like something had to be done. So I think clearly there's fan pressure, there's player pressure, there's media pressure, there's circle pressure. Like, as Henry, as a wild man once said, what should be done eventually must be done immediately.
I'm not disagreeing with a word of any of that. All I'm doing is trying, and it's actually, again, it's not that hard because we've been there not that long ago, to put myself in the shoes of a Mavs fan and just trying to gain some level of hope that just hope, period, moving forward. And I myself, as a sports fan, I don't know if you guys feel differently, but this is probably the defining characteristic of me as a fan of any team I root for, which is that I need to have some modicum of faith in the process behind what is going on behind closed doors. And if we got here today, based on all the evidence, the way that we got here today, again, if I'm a Mavs fan, the process has been fucked royally from minute one and by the way, we're sitting here talking about Nico Harrison. We haven't even touched on all the other shit that has been reported about Dallas over the past bunch of years. And again, we don't even need to go there, but just go Google anything about the Mavs and how that organization has been run for years. What faith could I possibly have that things are going to work out in my favor moving forward, other than the fact that I have Cooper Flagg on my roster? And by the way, I feel bad for this kid, because he could go out there and he could be rookie of the year. He could be an all-star in two or three seasons. He has to live up to an impossible standard, you know? So Jeff, let me turn to you. Where do you go? Let's go with this. Where do you go from here if you're Dallas? If you were got hired tomorrow as the Mavs GM, where are you going?
This is the start of a new day. We can't change the past. all we can do is move forward. Right? When one falls, we continue. We continue and continue and continue. That's what it's got to be. We got to move forward. We have a young prospect who's some have pegged as a generational talent. We still got Kyrie coming off Snake Way in January from the ACL injury. We got Derek Lively. We got Gafford. We do have AD. He might be banged up, but we still have AD. We got a solid squad. And things are looking bad now, but we have to move forward as a franchise. You wanted this, fans. Y'all told us to fire Nico. Nico's gone. I'm here now. Give us a chance. Give these players a chance. More than anybody else, we need to establish a comfortable, inviting environment at home for our team. And at this point, there really ain't nothing else left to chant unless y'all want the coach out next, unless you want everybody else out next. And guess what? The ownership ain't changing anytime soon. So if you want to blame them, cool. You're stuck with them for at least a decade. The front office is in the process of flux. The coach, I mean, for all intents and purposes, he hasn't been a problem. But I could see if they're losing more and more, a new person may want to come in and shake things up.
Didn't they just extend Kidd because of the whole
Knicks because they wanted to keep him away from the Knicks, right? All right. He was one of the people who got the MSG extension stimulus package, right? Yeah. So, yeah, he has been extended. But we know in this town, extensions don't mean shit. Extensions don't mean shit. So, at this point, anything is on the table. And you know why anything is on the table, John. Because I once saw Luka Doncic get traded from the Mavs to the Lakers in a trade that I never thought would happen. So anything is possible. But now, if you're a Mavs fan, you've already accepted this bed. You're laying in it, and you're going to be with the team. You just got to pour into the bright side at this point and move forward, or just don't root for them. But as an org, this has to be the first step in the next chapter of whatever the Mavs are going to be. And now y'all can all stop lying and trying to find the positives of that Luka trade and trying to make it seem like somehow the Mavs would be vindicated. This today officially condemns that move and everything associated with it.
So I've said a lot already on this episode, if I was a Mavs fan, because that's just how I'm trying to come at this. I'm going to be very curious to see now that this is done, and it may have already started, if the Mavs content creation community rallies behind a push to trade Anthony Davis. And you could tell me that it should be a push to trade both Anthony Davis and Kyrie Irving, but Kyrie Irving is currently not playing basketball because he is recovering from a torn ACL. He is 33 years old, and he has two more years left on his contract, including a player option in the 27-28 season.
I'm reporting he's picking that up. I'm reporting that now.
Breaking. Breaking news, Sean with a W. I don't know what you're going to get for Kyrie Irving. I think he probably needs to come back and play basketball, and then maybe you cross that bridge over the summer, or you use this as an opportunity to be like, you know what, Kyrie, we actually want you to take an extra few months and just come back the last 2 weeks of the season, show the rest of the league that you could still do what you got to do, and then we'll adjust in the summer. Because this is... forget being half the battle. This is no part of the battle if you don't try to, as you just said, Jeff, take, like, this is the first day of the rest of your lives. If you don't start to take the affirmative steps forward to bring the organization back to a place where, again, your fan base can have a belief in. You already have Cooper Flagg, which is not only a great guy to a great prospect. He profiles as the guy who is going to be the best number two in the league. He seems like a guy who could play alongside any superstar out there. So what do? You give yourself the best chance to get that other superstar, which means trying your best to get a top pick in this draft. Best part about the league lottery rules now is you could be the fifth worst, sixth worst, seventh worst team, and the odds are still pretty good. If I was Dallas, this is just me, because there's going to be, I guarantee you there will be interest in an Anthony Davis trade once he comes back on the court and shows that he could put one foot in front of the other and not fall over. I think if there's any team, and there are some unprotected picks floating out there, like that teams own of that belong to other teams, that those picks are going to be good. If you could somehow get your hand on like a pick that would increase your odds of winning the lottery or finishing in the top few of the lottery by like 5%, 10%. Those are the Anthony Davis trades that I'm looking for, because I don't think you're going to get a premium young player for him. But if you could get a pick that even has a shot to up your odds of getting to the top of the lottery, that's what I would do. Sean, do you agree or disagree?
I would move anything that wasn't nailed down that didn't have the word flag on the back. I actually saw on Twitter Sunday, someone posted Tankathon Free NFL, and it showed that the Giants if they see the end of today, they'd have the number three pick. And the person posted this said, being in the top five and not needing a quarterback is one of the most underrated places to be in the NFL. Like, you have a top five pick, but you already have the quarterback, which you would use it on. Having the generational player like Cooper Flag,
let's cool it with the generational.
Talk to your boy Tim Legler. There are a lot of people that like what. Anticipate whatever you want to call him, whatever plaudits you want to
future multi-time all-star Cooper Flag. Yes. Really, really great prospect, Cooper Flag. Not generational. Shout out to the chat. I see someone bringing that up.
That we can have that argument later. And I agree. I do think that word generation gets thrown around way too often, but whatever.
It does.
Having the potential multi-time all-star, franchise player, All-NBA player on your roster, and then picking in the top four, top five, is an amazing place, because you can literally go in any direction you want. You don't have to necessarily succumb to like, oh, well, I don't like this guy, but I got to take him because he looks like a franchise player if I squint and what have you. So, yeah, like, listen, for me, Anthony Davis will be gone. Kyrie will be gone. Klay Thompson will be like, all right, listen, I convinced him, like, listen, this is he's an expiring contract next year. Like, one of Gaffer, PJ, I mean, I already heard that Gaffer's on the trade block, whatever. Maybe I get rid of one of them. But, I mean, even though they're both 27, but whatever. Caleb Martin, LOL. Like, but other than that, like, to your point about the fans and getting behind trading this, you would never see a happier set of fans to watch their team go 15-67. Then the Dallas fans knowing like, yeah, we're 15-67, but we have Cooper Flag and a bunch of picks and a bunch of kids and some flyers. Let's go.
Like, I hate to go from one downtrodden beaten to a pulp fan base and move right to another one. Jeff, if you're whoever the hell is going to be running the Mavs tomorrow, don't you have to pick up the phone and call the Kings and just see if maybe you could pry their pick this year?
Why not?
I'm serious. I mean, like,
Anthony Davis can be traded for generational superstars. There's nothing out of the realm of possibility that they can't have it again, or for something the equivalent of something that's going to be advantageous to you, right?
Yeah.
What I was just sitting here thinking, and I don't think probably there's like cap gymnastics that have to be told, but when you were talking about trading Kyrie,
I
just had an idea, because I was like, they're going to fucking trade Kyrie to the Rockets, aren't they? They're going to trade Kyrie to the Rockets or Fred VanVleet or someone like that.
No, it's VanVleet's contract. You could do Eason. And the Rockets have a bunch of picks. God. Jeff, you might be speaking it into existence.
I just, when you were like, yeah, they need to get something for Kyrie, and I'm like, who needs a point? Get the f- out of here. That's literally what the thought process was in my head. Or,
I'm dead serious. The Rockets would do it, right?
You know who else may do it? Oh.
Oh.
If I was them.
I'm trying to see if this damn trade works.
What?
Who else could you do quietly?
Rockets trades easy.
You wanted to come off the bench.
No. Rockets trades easy.
They can't do it, but you wanted to come off the bench.
Wait, who are you talking about?
Who are you talking about?
Are you talking about our basketball team? No. Stop it.
And that's why I said
Who on our basketball team? Who?
If we're really gonna do the how can the Knicks take advantage of the possible implosion of the Dallas Mavericks, I would
Christy. Najee.
I would hang on to Christy if I were the Mavs. I think he's still on a pretty. I think his contract's pretty good. He's a fine young player. I don't think you're going to get the thing for him that's going to make it worth like keep him around. Keep him around. He's a good young player. He might get better. No, I was like PJ Washington just got signed to an extension that now that he has forgotten how to shoot, all of a sudden does not look so great. So I don't think I want to be in the PJ Washington business. And I've always liked PJ Washington. I'll say this. If the Knicks ever have another 3-game losing streak again, my dog's very concerned about this, what I'm about to say. If the Knicks ever have another 3-game losing streak again this season, I don't know that they will. Watch the fan base be like, could we do Cat for AD?
Oh, come on.
I would watch.
Hold on, just answer the question.
You're telling me that would not get uttered.
Brother, it's Twitter.
From any smart fans?
No, from any fans. Smart fans. That's
John.
Yes.
I did study hall on Sunday, Saturday. Fan told me that the Knicks would lose in the first round to the Indiana Pacers this year. So, yeah, there's always a fan that will utter something. But to Jeff's point, are we talking about fans or are we talking about smart fans?
Or content creators or grifters.
All right, that's fair.
You want to talk about the writing. Like my Kyrie thing was just like whatever. Just thinking like you need a backup point. You know, we're good in the East, but I was thinking that's less ludicrous than Cat for AD.
I'm the biggest Cat skeptic among any, you know, person who does this with some level of prominence. I wouldn't do that trade because you know what Cat does? Cat stays on the floor.
Yes.
I do think they missed their window.
He does.
Because Nico was ready to give everything up. You might have messed around and got somebody. You could have messed around and got Max Christie for 6 cents on the dollar.
I mean,
the way he was giving it up. So now the new whoever they bring in now is going to be way more cautious.
We can end on this. If I was a fan, and it's ironic because the point of the letter was meant to placate the fans and to beg for the fans' forgiveness. If I was a fan and I read that letter from the owner / Dallas PR, I would actually be more worried because that letter says to me that they are not giving up on the season. They are going to try to continue to make a push to win this season. And why in God's name, my best player on the roster will not be old enough to drink for 3 years. He's 18 years old. Why in good grief should I try to continue to make a push to win this year when the Western Conference, I'm looking up at OKC, I'm looking up at Houston, I'm looking up at Denver, I'm looking up at San Antonio, I'm looking at Minnesota, there's one other team I'm looking up at. They have a guy who's currently averaging 40 points a game. And they were purple and gold. I'm looking up at all these teams. I'm almost like, if I'm Dallas and my best player is 18, I'm like, you know what? Let me set this thing up. But here's the other problem. they're out picks in 27, 28, 29, 30. So in a perfect world, they try to do what the Nets did, where they sent out all the picks for Harden, and then they recoup those picks from another team or other teams, Phoenix and actually Dallas, in the trades that sent out KD and Kyrie. But like, so it's like, all right, we don't have our own picks because we were stupid. We traded them all away, but we'll get some other picks that we could at least kind of still rebuild through the draft. I don't know if they're going to have the ability to do that with the players they have on their roster. Again, shout out Nico Harrison, but I would almost be trying to kick the can so far down the road. It's like, yeah, Mavs fans, check back with us in like 4 years, and then we'll be ready to actually compete for a title again. That's how if I was a fan, that's honestly what I would prefer. But that's me, and I know I'm maybe built a little bit differently. So, Jeff, final thoughts? I mean, we could. I don't know what else there was to say about this. Really,
dog, this league is crazy, man. This league is crazy, but if there is a fire sale that's going to happen in Dallas, boy, that could make some seismic shifts in this league. Just thinking about it now, it oh my God, that can make some seismic shifts in this league. I don't even think their roster is a blow up roster.
What do you mean?
It would be more like a going out of business sale than a blow up roster. Like they're not a good team, so just trade what you have. Like, I don't think they're a bad team. I just think that they don't got their people and they're off to a good start and they're not off to a good start.
Sean.
Why are they a good team?
I don't think they're a good team. I just don't think they're a bad team.
They're
not a good team this season.
They're 29th.
I think they would do way better if their people were available, but they're not, so we're here. If that makes sense.
Oh, but one guy's never available, and the other guy is 33 years old and tore his ACL. So, like, even the guy tore his ACL comes back. Like, we saw what it looked like when he was the clear-cut best player on the team. They're fighting for their lives last year before he tore his shit. And then the other guy don't play.
So they're
like, someone in the chat talking about I like AD. He don't play.
Here's so all you need.
I say, how good is this team? Like, this team isn't good. Like, they are, besides New Orleans, Utah, Sacramento, who are they absolutely shadow? How many teams are they absolutely shadow without, beyond a shadow of doubt, better than? How many? You could probably cut them on one hand and have some left over.
No, they're better than Indy. They're better than Washington.
I'm talking about in the West.
Oh, in the West?
Yeah, in the West.
As currently constituted?
Right now.
I already said they were bad now. I just don't think that, like, okay, you get rid of AD, you get rid of Kyrie, like, if you want to sell off. But I do think they have a good young core.
Well, like, Jeff.
That makes sense.
It does make sense, and here's why. In the NBA, with how many teams are trying to win, and honestly, with how loaded the league is right now, because we need, frankly, like we should have two expansion teams. There is so much talent in the league right now to the point where you have guys that don't even have jobs, or guys that are, again, the 10th, 11th, 12th guy on the bench on some teams that like are probably rotation players. So you can trade away your best players, keep a lot of the smaller pieces, and still be bad enough to get a high pick. I think, is that what you're trying to, the point you're trying to make?
Me? Yeah.
No, Jeff. Like,
oh.
That they could trade away the big pieces and still be bad. Like they don't have to trade away everything.
That's I'm saying. Exactly. Like,
okay.
If you're saying, yo, we gotta get the most out of whatever, you could trade AD, you could trade Kyrie.
That's all. That's
maybe
it.
Maybe one of Gafford and Lively if you're trying to really stock the coffers. Think with like Lively, Gafford, Cooper Flagg, Max Christie.
That's it. Those three.
Najee. I think they have something there. Like, I don't think they completely stink.
Keep those three young players.
Winning 20.
I mean, but they're going to be bad. But like, that's something. And it's something
that's
for
a
your
future. You can sell.
It's a future. And you know what you can do with the future? You could sell it. And right now, you know what you can't do with this roster? You can't sell it. Not to this fan base. Not after what they've been through. This team is, to your point, Sean, 29th in the league in offensive rating. The only team that they are better than is the Indiana Pacers. They are 10 points per 100 possessions worse than the Orlando Magic.
They stink. Like, it's over. It's over. To your point, go 25-57 with
Flag and Lively
and Matt Christie and Lively. Yeah. And maybe Jaden Hardy could get some run because he's a member of the he's the newest inductee of the don't do is nice, you don't get no burn fan club, you know. But yeah, it's over. It's over. Like, it's over. It's a sunk cost. You move forward. And to your point, you do that, you say, like, you can sell this.
Yes.
Here's what you got.
Here's what you sell. And the last thing, I meant to say this before with the AD part of it. Anthony Davis is eligible to sign an extension this summer. That extension has a chance to be very detrimental, to the point where if you get to this summer and you do sign him to the extension this summer, he might not become untradeable, but whatever trade value he has now is probably going to go down significantly. So I actually would argue that you kind of have to trade this guy now, especially since if you move him now, not literally today, maybe, you know, you want to wait till December or January when more of the league can be traded and trades actually start. That's fine. That's kind of what I'm going for. But, like, again, you have to get either a pick that has a chance to be a premium pick. Call Atlanta, who owns New Orleans pick after that disastrous trade. See if maybe you could convince Atlanta that, hey, guys, like, you know, the Knicks, the Cavs, like, there's no world beaters there. Maybe you guys could be in the finals in June. Like, take a shot. Like, I would at least see if there's something that could be put together where you could get a hold of that pick. And now, do I think if I was the Hawks, would I trade that pick? Should I? No, I don't. But try to find someone that might be willing to give you, again, a premium pick or a premium young talent. That's where I would go. But I don't know what the Mavs are going to do. Oh my God, what a wild day. Sean, final thoughts before we get out of here?
I'm seeing a lot of talk on the timeline about how Nico was taking the fall for a trade he didn't make. I'm not buying any of that garbage. You're not going to tell me that Dumont made him trade Luka Doncic. If the least ball knowing people in the world who run basketball teams like money, and they know that that guy's box office, and they're not going to trade box office. Like, no. This was Nico. And to your point, John, he successfully convinced ownership, let him trade this guy.
Yes.
This is Nico.
Yes.
And this is Nico. End of story.
Jeff, final word.
Sean could tell me, yo, buy a Pinto. They're coming back in style. I still got to sign the check and say, yo, go ahead, go cop that for me. You know, we can push it to the crib and then use a, what is the tool used that you use to, change tires?
The jack.
Not the jack, the cross.
Oh, the I know it's the
crossbar thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Use one of those. Use a wrench in the ignition to start it up. Linoleum seats with a whole nine. But I got to say, yo, you know what? You're right. If you can be convinced to trade Luka Doncic on your team in his prime, then you have to own a major portion of that blame pie. Maybe not all of it, maybe not the majority, but you at least got 40% as the floor.
And I'll say this really quickly.
Please.
The cost of trading Luka Doncic is not the crime as much as it is the return. Because if you want to say to yourself, all right, he's going to be a free agent in 2 years, he doesn't like the stuff that we're doing, you know, we're trying to get him to eat better and take better care of himself, he's not listening, whatever. You want to entertain that? Fine. But to not incite a bidding war and just rob a franchise blind of everything that they have. That to me is the worst outcome. Like, Sean, if you want to trade Luka Doncic, I listen. Now I know I'm talking to a person that compared Luka Doncic to Michael Jordan. I understand why you're saying what I'm saying to you is makes sense. I'm not saying I'm going to trade Luka Doncic. Let's be clear. What I'm saying is, if you decide to trade Luka Doncic, you have to get everything from somebody. Everything. And the fact that he thought, I know what I'm going to do. The fact that he thought Anthony Davis was everything, that's the RICO. That's the RICO charge right there. Like, my goodness.
Sean, I get what you're saying. I think I've made the same argument. The pushback I will give is there are, let's see how off the top of my head, let's say between 5 and 10 teams, and by the time he retires, it might be closer to 15 or 20 teams. But I feel comfortable saying there are 5 to 10 teams in the league that today, where Luka Doncic is at 26 years old, have never had a player as good as Luka Doncic. And they have been in existence for decades. Quite literal, decades. The Charlotte Hornets. We love poking fun at the Charlotte Hornets. The Charlotte Hornets, or any iteration of the Charlotte franchise, they've never had a player as good as Luka Doncic. The Washington Wizards, you have to go back to Wes Unseld. Not when he was on Washington. Not when he was on Washington. You have to go back to Wes Unseld, who won an MVP, and Earl Monroe, who is one of the top 75 players ever, to even have a conversation about when's the last time the Washington basketball franchise has had a player as good as Luka Doncic. You know, the Pistons. Pistons won 2 championships. Isaiah Thomas, as of right now, certainly has a more decorated than Luka Doncic. He's a better player than Luka Doncic. But you have to go back at least that far. You know? And they've won a championship since then. I could keep going through teams. I don't need to, because you get the point. If you get the whole point of having a team, of being an owner in the league, is to have a team with a guy like this. And they had
it. I wouldn't trade him. I didn't say I would trade him. What I'm saying is, if you decide to do this, you're talking about selling hope. You could be like, all right, we traded him, but look at all this we got. Look at all of this. Then it's like, all right, but it's like you traded him for a guy that everyone, like, you play this dude 4 times a year and you watch him play 45 games a year. You're like, nah, that's what I want. Like, so I get it. Listen, you're right. You're exactly right. Like, there are 20 teams. The guy killed. I wouldn't have done it. I would not have done it.
I would have figured it out. Okay. This was great. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. So we basically did our midweek show a day early. Barring anything insane, I think you will probably see us again in some form or fashion on Friday. But everybody, thank you for tuning in to this, our second emergency live stream. We've done a gambling emergency live stream, and we've done a Luka emergency live stream.
What's the common thread? Poor fucking decisions.
Make better decisions, people in the NBA. That's all.
And stop gambling.
Stop
when
gambling.
You gamble, you can lose.
Stop That's gambling.
Another common thread.
Stop. Yes. Don't gamble.
Stop gambling when you have a sure thing.
That's, you know what? Don't gamble away a sure thing. If that isn't a t-shirt motto, I don't know what is. Sean and Jeff, thank you. Thank everybody, everybody out there for checking out another episode of NBA Takedown. We will catch you with more fun and games before you know it. And before I leave, don't forget, keep supporting the show. Follow us, subscribe, rate, review, put on alerts, all those things. At NBA Takedown on socials, at NBA Takedown Pod on Twitter, YouTube, Spotify, Apple, the whole thing. We'll catch you later. Peace out.